All right, everybody, we're back here on the FBC. This is what I'm calling it, Taylor. The FBC Brookhaven Podcast.
I like it. Good name.
Episode 6. So we are still set up here in our living room that I made out of parlor furniture here in the sanctuary. And I was informed today that I'm sitting in the Ben Goza chair.
You are.
Is that right? Is that right, Taylor?
That is correct. On Sunday mornings, that is his and nobody else's.
Let me tell you, it's a comfy podcasting chair. Yeah. Do you know whose chair you're sitting in?
Don Wally's.
It's a Don Wally chair.
Yeah.
Boy.
That one's going to be either mine or Jason Bandy's. One of the two is the other one.
Well, if y'all hadn't figured it out by now, my guest today here on this podcast is Mr. Taylor Newman. Say hey there, Taylor.
How's everybody doing today?
Out there on the in the digital world. Well, y'all know that the first five podcast sessions we did were with the missionaries that were featured in our August 3rd worship service. And we really launched this podcast, Taylor, to kind of supplement their stories. You know, when you get a missionary or anybody that shares a testimony, even if they go 10 minutes on a testimony, you always feel like you missed out on something or they didn't get to say something they wanted to say.
Yeah, I know from going to Casa de Fe 7 years ago now, if you gave me 10, 20, 30 minutes to talk about it, it's when I leave, I'm like, doggone it, why didn't I?
Yeah,
why didn't I talk about it? Why didn't I talk about that?
Because you're there a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have all these experiences, and most of them are new. And so in that service that Sunday morning, you know, where each missionary's got, you know, 5 minutes, what we challenged them to do or asked them to do was just, hey, give us the one good thing. And man, they delivered. But that supplemental content, I wanted to get it out to the congregation. And so if you haven't listened to those episodes, you're listening to this one, go back and check them out. You're going to hear from Bart Allen, Will Thibodeau, Haley Thibodeau. You're going to hear from Connie Hodges, Rachel Britt. You're going to hear from David Williams and James Kitchens. Bill Jr. sat in on that one.
So Will Thibodeau.
Oh, Willie.
Had his 35th birthday, it should have been his 36th birthday this past week.
Come on.
Will's high school football number was 35. I saw where Mr. Buddy had put something on there about his, now he's not his old number anymore. Yeah. Anyway, interesting fact about Will, high school kicker, high school punter. I think he holds the record for the most in a row. I may have messed that up. I was a snapper. So just inch tidbit there.
About yeah, y'all. So y'all were close.
Yeah, classmates. Yeah. Graduated together.
So the fourth episode of our podcast was Lisa Furlow and her daughter, Emma Mirabal. And the ending of that one, I'm going to tell you, is powerful. Emma reads this little sermon. And I'm telling you, it's convicting. And then the fifth episode was Brother Chris, our student pastor, and Jeremiah, who went to South Asia. So if you haven't listened to those and you just want to hear more about what they did and what their experiences were, I encourage you to do that. So today what we're hoping to do is give just a little bit of light to something that Taylor's up to. And on August the 6th, we launched back into our regular Wednesday night routine here at the church. So let me run this schedule down for you real quick. I've been practicing this for this podcast. Wednesdays is pretty busy up here at the First Baptist Church. It starts for Brother Greg and I with the senior adult prayer luncheon at 11. And I'm going to tell you, it's one of the best things we do. I think today's Wednesday, July 30th, we're recording. We had 56 people at that meeting.
56 today?
56 today.
Wow.
And so we meet at 11, and I lead us in two hymns. And then I'll usually sing a solo or have somebody come in and sing. Dr. Roy Daltrey plays for us. And so we worship for 10, 12 minutes there. Then Brother Greg comes up, and he leads us through our prayer guide. And I'm going to tell you, that's one of the most beneficial things for that setting.
And I like how you mentioned solo. You didn't just say you sang it. You made sure to get in there.
Oh, that, of that course, man.
Solo.
Man, I don't want people think like, I need help.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't.
You know, I mean, I got this over here. Oh, Lord.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, just so to help everybody know, Melanie Dixon sang for us today. Right. I gave him a break of old Nikki today. And Melanie sang "When the Roll Is Caught Up Yonder." Awesome. She did a great job. So then Brother Greg, he'll lead us through the prayer sheet where we kind of just, you know, are reminded of people who are in the hospital, people who have cancer, people who are grieving. We pray for our military. We pray for expectant mothers. We pray for the lost. We pray for those who are under addiction. And then we have a, you know, just whatever needs may arise, and we pray. And we have a time of silent prayer, and then, you know, usually somebody closes us out. And then Brother Greg preaches a 15-minute message. Today's was on forgiveness, you know, and it's one of those topics that really we probably need to hear once or twice a day. I don't know. But so that's Wednesday at 11. And then so starting back on August the 6th at 4:45, we have a family meal that starts in the fellowship hall. And then we also open the gym up to students and children. And they can go in there and play games and whatnot. And then at 5:30, our kids go to their classes for kids choir. And so we have graded kids choir. It starts pre-K, and then we have kindergarten choir, first and seconds, thirds, fourths, fifth and sixth. And it's a busy time. They start here in the sanctuary, 10, 15 minutes. That's kind of the get the wiggles out, you know, and then we send them to their class for the rest where they learn their songs, and they have great leadership. Lisa does a great job with that. At 5:40, Brother Greg, he does a prayer meeting for adults. Oh, back up. What time?
5:30.
So at 5:30.
5:35. It's
loose.
Yeah.
It's loose. Mm-hmm. In room 201, which is just off the fellowship hall.
Yep.
Taylor's going to be hosting a group of men and facilitating Better Man, which we're going to talk about here at the end. And then at 5:40, Brother Greg does a prayer meeting. At 6 o'clock, Rock Solid Student Ministry. They have their worship and preaching in the student center. Then at 6:30, I have choir practice up in the worship suite, and we also have band practice here in the sanctuary. But campus is cleared at 7:30, so you can come and be a part of a Wednesday night, you know, from dinner, and if you sang in the choir, you would be a couple hours up here, but you'd be home before 8. And we have found Wednesday nights to be it's really the front door to the church. You know, front door used to be, and it still is in some ways, yeah. But it's a great place to invite somebody to come, eat dinner, and have a real casual evening and fellowship.
Casual is the word. I was thinking relaxed, but casual was a better word. And it's laid back. Kids have fun. You know, three reckless little boys. I don't mind coming up here. And, you know, Kirstie may have to wrangle them in from time to time. But it's nice.
It's a good time. It's worth the couple hours for sure. So I want to highlight Better Man, but I thought we would spend just a minute getting to know Taylor Newman a little bit. And Taylor, the Newman name, I don't know how many generations of Newmans there have been around Lincoln County, but it's got to be a few.
Oh, there's several.
Six or seven.
I think so.
Yeah, there's several roads named Newman around here, and you'll see that name around. And you're kin to all of them. Did you know that?
All from Kapai County and Lincoln County. Amen. We're not kin. I'm sorry. We're not.
Be careful. Be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Taylor, I want to hear your testimony. And I want to hear it. I want to hear two parts of your testimony.
Okay.
Okay. I want to hear how you came to Christ. But then I also want to hear what God's doing in your life today. And then we're gonna segue into Better Man.
All right.
So tell us a little bit about how you came to Christ.
You know, I'm not prepared for that question, but I am prepared for it a little bit, I guess.
I told him we did not prep this.
No, we did
not. I said, look, I'm just going to ask some questions. We're going to do it raw.
Very dirty, but that's fine. Born and raised here in First Baptist Church, the only church I've ever been a member of. So parents had me in church my whole life. It was a non-negotiable. There was plenty of times I was 8, 10 years old, and I probably didn't want to come. I wanted to be playing ball in the yard or something, but it was a priority made by my parents, and I'm thankful it was. So my testimony, I gave it, 6 months ago to our Sunday school class. And the way I broke it down was kind of something that's, I guess, easy for me to translate. So I'm third generation farmer on the property I live on, me, my dad, and then my grandfather, but probably seventh generation farmer in Lincoln County. So farming in the ag industry, that's what I'm in at work, it's easy for me to talk about. So the way broke my testimony down was in the seeding phase, the weeding phase, and then the gray zone phase.
I'm interested.
So for people that don't know about gray zone, we'll get to that in a minute. But as a young child in First Baptist Church, like I said, it was non-negotiable. We were going to be here. That was just part of it on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. Sunday nights back then, it was in the sanctuary, old school, you know.
Yeah.
But there were men in my life that were a part of this church, you know, the Marty Stevens, the Bill Soames, the Warren Stamps, and I could go on and on and on, and not Bill Jr., Mr. Bill Soames.
Yeah, Mr. Bill, yeah.
But
Big Pop.
Pat Hennington, you know, that they invested in me, and I didn't really realize it at the time. Looking back on it, I do. But they were planting seeds, and they were watering those seeds. Well,
that's the seeding phase.
That's right. That's the seeding phase. So,
making sure y'all picked up on that.
Yeah. And so then we get to adolescence and college years, and, you know, not something I'm necessarily proud of, but it is what it is. And I was in a phase of life that the weeds were really starting to take over the good grass and the good crop fruit, as we could say.
Mm.
And so, but I still had, I guess, thankfully, good roots to those plants. And it was with me. I had conviction about it. I knew the life I was living was not what was obedient to God, but, it, you know, I was being selfish. Well, fast forward out of those years, and the gray zone started getting sprayed on that plant. And gray zone's a chemical that we spray in our pastures, and what
it
does.
Is it a glyphosate?
It is. It's glyphosate.
And
so it's gray zone next, actually.
And what percentage of glyphosate is it?
We're not getting into that, Nick. Don't make me
look
bad.
I'm sorry. Let's go.
Don't make me look bad. Clark Calcote can answer that question for you. So the gray zone phase, what that chemical does, you spray it in your fields, and it allows the good grass to grow, and it chokes out the weeds. And you see people that don't ride by my place right now because I hadn't sprayed it. But the weeds will start to take over, and it'll choke that good grass out. So you spray that gray zone on it, and it has reverse effects to it. And it kills the weeds, and it allows those good plants and good crops to grow and be fruitful. So that's really the line of my testimony from when I was a child to now. And luckily, you know, scripture, is scripture is the gray zone. And anyway, so that's the snippet.
Yeah, I love that analogy that, you know, it does seem that the more you study and the more that you, the word dwells in you, those weeds start to kind of dry up and shrivel.
Does. And, yeah. You know, as a young man, adult now, I'm some would say I'm young. I don't necessarily always feel like it, but it's funny. I'm 36, about to be 37. And when I used to think of Henry Newman at 36, he was an old man, and now I'm young, you know. Yeah. So it's funny how your mind goes changing. But as a parent and reading scripture and getting closer to Christ and having a relationship with him, it's amazing the conviction, the depth of conviction, I guess, you start having.
You have it, and then you're also just more willing to respond to it in a Christ-like way. Where, you know, there were times I've in my life where I've been convicted of something, and I didn't repent immediately, or you know, I didn't act on it in a Christ-like way. I just lived under the conviction. But as you mature in Christ, I think kind of one of the things you're saying is like, I'm quicker. I react faster. It's like,
and it's amazing as you grow, at least for me, I feel like the more convictions I have, you know, used to, something didn't bother me at all. And now it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. So, holiness becomes more important. Mm-hmm. And you go, I don't want to be that. I want to rid myself. Yeah. To continue using the farming analogy, it is like if you can get on top of that goat weed, it won't spread.
That's right.
But boy, if you let her grow and seed out and that wind blows, well, now, you know, it's applied over acres. So, I think that's helpful. So here we are today, and Taylor, I guess well, let me give you just a little, for the listener at home, just a little history of men's ministry at First, of current men's ministry at First Baptist Church. I don't want to make any assumptions that they, you know, I've been here almost 10 years. And right before COVID, the pandemic, Brother Greg, myself, Chris, and at the time Brother Jeff was, you know, on staff with us, and we had some really important conversations about men at First Baptist Church. And one of the things that we observed was we have some really good godly men at First Baptist Church. And you've said that, you know, that there's something in our DNA here that raises up good men. And, but then you also, at that time, we had a lot of new believers. You know, we were looking at a lot of young men. And we were all in our various ministries kind of encountering maybe a little more babes in Christ than we expected. You know, there were just, you know, maybe a generation of men before were just maybe a little more mature. I don't know. And you could tag it to just more distraction. You say, okay, well, they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have this or that. Or maybe they didn't have the affluency. So we wanted to engage men at a different level. And so we put our heads together, came up with Men's Life, and all of us contributed. You know, it was one of the a really cool team effort amongst us pastors. We all contributed thoughts and ideas.
It wasn't even just y'all, because back then when it first started, before the videos, you had Little Bill, you had Marty, else? Jeff.
The ministry, the pastor saw the need for the ministry.
Right, yeah.
Then we started picking leaders, because here's what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a Bible study. Yeah. We wanted to have it early in the morning.
It's early enough, I will say.
It is early, 5:30.
I'm saying it's early enough. 5:30 is good.
It's perfect time. Yeah. Perfect time. Yeah. You get good coffee. get good coffee.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. So, look, we wanted it to be about 45 minutes. And, well, the format then was we had 10 small groups, and they had 10 small group leaders. Mm-hmm. And the format was each group leader taught on Friday mornings, and then they would teach the quest, you know, for authentic manhood by Robert Lewis. They would teach a portion of it. Then we would go to small group, chat about what we had heard, and pray for one another. And through that time, we would, you know, kind of create a group of men who loved one another and who would provide support and accountability and friendship. And, well, then the pandemic hit. And it, you know, we were able to keep it going at some level, but, you know, it did suffer through that time. And after the pandemic, you know, we were determined, hey, we're going to keep going. We started meeting again, and, you know, those days were wild, man. You had to get masks and social distancing and all that, you know, stuff. By the way, I'm not going to do another pandemic.
Yeah, no.
Y'all heard it here. Y'all can do one. Y'all can do one.
Honestly, I wouldn't say, I lived through it and I experienced it. But I'm not downplaying health or anybody's health.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get it.
But like, I went to work every day. I didn't put a mask on.
Yeah.
I didn't. No, I kept one in my pocket just in case, like, the mask police come by.
That's right.
And to be respectful of someone you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to somebody, but as far as me and my coworkers, no.
No, I'm just saying there was so much, like, I feel like
fear.
If they decide, like, if the world decides to do another one, mm-hmm. I'm going to go camping for a few months.
I'll come
back when it's over with. Because I ain't going to do it. Yeah. Well, anyway, all right, let's get back on track. Yeah. So after pandemic, we get back into men's life. And Brother Greg, he wants to do this. Mm-hmm. He has taken on the responsibility of picking all the things that we study. And he does ask for our input. And actually, Brother Chris has been really good to offer a couple things that we've used. The very first curriculum we used was called Quest for Authentic Manhood. And it has three parts. And it's very long. It was written in the early 90s by a pastor out of Arkansas, Robert Lewis. And I went through the whole thing, I'll tell you, it was transformative for me. I learned things about myself. I learned things about, you know, my family, my heritage, because I had to think about some things. Well, the modern student at church really requires something different. And so they repackaged Quest for Authentic Manhood into Better Man. And so Better Man is a concise version. If you look on the back, the credits are to Robert Lewis.
So, just curious, yeah. Better Man was started, I forget what year, but it says that it goes back into the 90s, so I'm assuming Quest is... Okay,
yes.
You just taught me something there.
So, Chris Harper is the founder of Better Man. He went through Quest for Authentic Manhood. It was transformative in his life. But we all know a church student, somebody who's going to a class at church, you might can get 6 to 8 weeks with that person, like on an off night.
Right.
And so he repackaged it to make it a little more condensed. And I'll say this, he didn't mess it up at all.
Yeah, no.
He kept everything that was important and packaged it as Better Man. And Brother Greg started selecting Better Man curriculum for our men's life group about the time everybody was kind of emerging from the pandemic. And it is powerful stuff. For instance, if you go through one of the books, it'll be a 6-week study, and it'll be on, God and the Word. And you can go online and you can pick from one of three or four, you know, nationally known pastors, like just really great speakers. Six
of them.
And
you've got Chris, JP, you've got Kyle Reno, you have, what's the guy that, I think he's from out in Seattle, we just got through, the shorter guy. I can't think of his name.
I know who you're talking about, but
yeah, Derwin Gray. Yeah. And there's one
Jeff.
More.
Oh my goodness. There's another one.
There's just another Spanish version.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they even offer that.
So they've created, like, you can listen to a speaker that might fit your context on video.
By the way.
Nothing. I didn't hear what you said.
Buenas noches,
yeah,
by the way.
That's
funny.
Yeah. And so we'll go through that, then we talk, and it's been so good. Well, Better Man, since we've adopted it in Men's Life, has gained a lot of traction nationally.
It has.
I've gone to two national conferences, and Better Man is a featured exhibitor, mm-hmm. you know, on the exhibition floor. And the guys that, you know, run it, they're very approachable. They want to see men grow. And so it was a nice fit for First Baptist Church and what we were trying to accomplish from a discipling men. And it starts, you know, at all the roots of problems, and it's just been really good. So we, I don't know, I guess it was maybe in March or April, maybe March, we were starting a new module of Better Man. And Taylor had invited a couple guys from his community. Taylor lives out in the Clear Branch area.
Wesson, Colleen.
Kind of right Lake out. Lincoln
yep.
Road. And,
yep.
And so he doesn't live inside Brookhaven. And his community, he's got a lot of neighbors and friends that he's known his whole life out there. And he brought a couple guys from that area to our Men's Life. And we got to meet them and found out that one of the guys, Dwayne McLemore, he's like Better Man, like Dr. Better Man.
He is.
I mean, he's all in. So we found out that Dwayne was a really key leader in the Better Man conference that was in Jackson. And so they're expanding Better Man to do these regional, maybe even city level conferences. And a lot of it was Dwayne pushing that. Dwayne wanted to see that happen. And I don't know that he didn't make it happen.
He's on fire for men's ministry.
He is. No doubt. He loves to see men grow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that when he showed up that morning.
I didn't either. I did when he came that morning. Yeah. The evening before when I invited him, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And really and truly, it's funny because he and I, through work, had talked a few times, but his son is how I know him.
Yeah.
My oldest and his oldest were on the same soccer team.
I see.
And we got to talking and stuff. Well, Mr. Dwayne's dad had passed away, and I called his son to give him my condolences, and we got to talking, and I invited his son. And he was like, well, look, I can't make it, but my dad would love to come to that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. I said, give me his number. I'll call him up. I call him, and he's like, Better Man, huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah. He said, okay,
we'll see.
I'll be there. So,
well, Dwayne, and look, when I met him that morning, he's like, yeah, he does like five or six different men's ministries a week. He drives up to Jackson, to Pine Lakes. He goes to East Haven's Hungry Man.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to ours. I don't know what all he's in.
He's at Clear Branch tonight.
That's funny.
Yeah. He is at Clear Branch tonight at a catfish dinner they're about to start
Better Man.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want y'all to hear in this is it's obvious to us that the Lord is blessing Better Man. And we've seen it literally, Taylor, I would say in 4 months, we've seen it expand.
Absolutely.
You know, just the name. Just here in Lincoln County.
Yeah.
So, Dwayne is in conversation with Brother Greg about advancing better men in different ways in our church, in our community. And so y'all are going to be hearing more about better man. I mean, it just if you're listening and you're a wife, get your husband to listen to this podcast. If you're a husband out there, a married man, or even it doesn't matter. Go and do a little bit of Googling on Better Man, and you're going to see it's awesome stuff. So Taylor has been affected by Better Man in all the right ways. I've seen it just visibly, personally, because Taylor and I are conversing, you know, probably 5 times a week at some level, text, calling. Yeah. I would consider Taylor a good friend, and I have seen Taylor changed. Now, Taylor, I never thought you were a bad dude, but I think it's okay to say I've seen you grow and get better.
That's,
you know what I mean? I'm saying that in the positive way.
And I agree with you. I mean, ain't nobody perfect, but yeah. I've always felt like I was pretty deep. Hey, on a human, on an earthly standard, I thought I was a pretty good old guy.
I get it.
And so, yeah, better man, there is no doubt. I wouldn't say single-handedly, but it's right up there. It has made a difference in my life and my home. I mean, yeah.
It's just organized in such a way that men can grab it. And so – let me tell you how powerfully has it affected Taylor Newman. He's going to be teaching it, y'all. So that is enough to me. When something means that much to you, or you think it's that effective that you want to teach it, y'all, it's a real thing. And so this podcast is to introduce y'all to Better Man Taylor Newman and this class that he's going to be teaching. So Taylor, I want to hear from you about what you've got planned this semester, and what they can expect when they show up.
Well, before I jump into that, just on Better Man, I tell you, and please listen, for anyone that questions whether or not they need to get plugged into Better Man somewhere, just take my word for it. Just shut up and do it. Just be there.
Show
and
up.
If you give, if you just open your ears and listen and to the words that they talk about and the lessons you go through and the fellowship with the other men, it's awesome. It really is. It's life changing. It's generational changes.
That's an important word there.
Yeah. So the Better Man class and really how we got there is Nick mentioned Better Man changing me in how I, you know, view things and personally and with my family and with the church. But about a year ago, me and Adam Furlow were talking. You know, the men, the dads, young dads in the church, they jump in the spring semester and help with RAs.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah,
so
I'm backing up.
Yeah,
let me break
that down for you real quick. Just so at home, listen, in the spring semester, our children's program is focused on missions, RAs, GAs, mission friends. Yeah. And then in the fall, we focus on children's choirs.
That's right.
So that's just kind of a commercial. Yeah. So in the spring, y'all are busy with RAs.
In the spring, the young dads, we are wide open with RAs every
Keeping
Wednesday night, 5:30 to 6:30.
Beating each other up.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think all kids have gone home safe. But
alive.
Yeah, they're alive. Anyway, but in the fall, that group of men, not that there's not somewhere to get plugged in, because that would be not true, but you start seeing those men all of a sudden get busy because there's not a something they have to be at.
Let me pause you. So what happens, and this is okay, kids choirs are predominantly led by our moms and ladies.
Yeah, they don't want me, they don't want me teaching the kids how to sing. I'm just being honest.
And it's great. And sometimes we'll need a man to bounce, you know, to help. But men do seem to get a little displaced during kids' choirs. Yep. Go ahead.
Adam and I were talking about, okay, instead of trying to find a new group of dads, and it's not a new group, but instead of trying to round up the dads come spring for RA stuff, if there was something in the fall also for not just them, not to be excluded, but that group of men to study in the fall, and then we just roll right into RAs, and you're just building on that, and it makes it a little easier. Adam, for the ones that don't know, Adam is the one kind of heading up the Royal Ambassadors RAs.
Yeah.
So we started a Bible study last fall, all right? And
was that a Mark study?
It was on the Book of Mark.
Yeah.
And the it was really simple. It was a layup for me because I come up with the idea, and little did I know, after coming up with the idea, I got thrown into leading the class.
Which, and that's how it goes.
It is.
We love for you to do that.
Look, you know, this is how I view it. It ain't what I want to do. It's what I have to do. Amen. We're called to disciple, and we don't get to pick and choose what our role in that's going to be. But so then we went back into Royal Ambassadors for the spring semester, and coming back around, I really was wanting to do it on a First John, but I love Better Man.
First John isn't very long either.
It's not, and we got to fill. I think it's 17 or 18
weeks.
Yeah, we
got 18 weeks.
I mean, it was going to have to stretch First John
one verse a week.
Yeah, hey, you know, that's a deep dive right
there. I'm telling you, son.
So we get to talking, and Dwayne and I have built a friendship over the past year. And then Nick and I were talking about Better Man, and Brother Greg had kind of challenged us all a few months back on if anybody would want to, at our men's life on Friday mornings when we finished up before the summer, he said, if anybody would want to, you know, see Better Man grow, come talk to me. So instead of trying to stretch First John into 17 or 18 weeks, why don't we offer a Better Man for the men that have other appointments on Friday morning? You know, they may have to be at work at a time that they can't make it to Men's Life, or maybe they work night shift, whatever the case may be, they just can't be there. So we're offering it on Wednesday nights. So we will, week one, August 6th, we're going to be going through the Explore edition. Now, the Explore edition is designed to be a 3-week deal.
Let me pause you for a second. So if anybody's interested, you can go to betterman.com. They have a little search engine, and you can just type Explore, and you'll see a little more in detail, because Taylor's not going to be able to get to all of that right now. But go ahead. It's 3 weeks.
Yeah, so it's 3 weeks that we're stretching into 6 weeks.
Sure.
All right, just for the semester's sake.
Yeah.
So basically, in that core, I don't want to ruin anything, but just it's talking about our core beliefs and then questions that men, dads, I guarantee you, every one of us has asked ourselves at some point in time.
Yeah.
And so we'll watch, you know, a 20-minute video, and then we have discussion after that. Yeah. And
Can we pause right there,
and
then we'll finish up?
This is your show. We can pause whenever you want to.
Hey, I hear you, man. But, you know, I don't want to gloss over everything. The small group component.
Yeah.
Way back when Greg and Nick and Jeff and Chris were talking about starting a men's ministry, it was one of the things that we wrestled with about, will men partake? And I'm going to tell you, it might be
the most beneficial part.
And
Individually on Friday mornings at 5:30, if I miss, because nobody's here every single week.
Right.
You got something going on.
Something's
going to
come up.
Could be a turkey goblin in the spring. You never know. Something's going to come up. But
gut punch.
Say what?
Gut punch.
Yeah, you just sit over there and be quiet. Anyway, so where are we going?
Yeah, so we were talking about the value.
The small group. My small group at Men's Life, they are literally age range from 30 to 35 to, I'm not going to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to say probably 70, 65 plus. I'm closer to those men and value their opinion and bounce things off of them in a Monday through Sunday than any of my friends I'm close with.
Yeah.
The value in that small group, it's, if I miss, getting back to what I said, if I miss, like, I'm like, doggone it. Kind of let them down because I wasn't, like, accountability type thing.
Yeah.
But then also, I didn't get that nourishment from that session with my buddies.
Yeah, and so what's going to happen on Wednesday night, you're going to watch this video, and we're going to have that component where you'll have a small group of men that you're going to become over the semester really good friends with. And, you know, not every man's the same where they're going to feel comfortable, you know, maybe sharing all of their challenges or trials, but over time they'll get more comfortable.
Absolutely.
And it's not a therapy session. That's not what it's designed to be. It's not like a, you know, a support group per se. It's biblical. It's iron sharpening iron. And that's the way I view my group.
And it is, but then also, well, I think one reason our group, I'm just going to be honest with you, my group's the best group. It is. Well, but
we'll arm wrestle over it.
Yeah. You'll probably win, but the
probably.
So I knew this was going to get this way.
We're friends.
The thing that makes our group so awesome is the variety.
Yeah.
Of what's in that group,
yeah.
And the thing that makes Better Man in that small group setting so awesome is, man, it's real life.
Yeah.
It ain't. Come in on Sunday morning in your Sunday best, sit in the pew and sing, open to hymn number. Not that
it ain't political.
That. No, yeah. Man, it is raw. It's like this. It's raw. Yes, we have a course and a curriculum we're getting through, but what that curriculum is, it brings us back to what went on this past week, what we dealt with 3 months ago, and we handled it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then when it comes up again, because it's going to, it's in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Something as small as the conversation with your kids before bedtime.
Yeah.
You know, how you handle those conversations. I said, go, you know, it, but it's, I love it.
Yeah, small group component is something that men will have an opportunity to engage in on Wednesday nights when you get going.
It is.
And over 17 weeks, you can't help but gain an affection and a love for people that you're going through life with. And then, so you've got 6 weeks of the Explore, and then you launch into 11 weeks of the Core.
Yes. And, you know, the Core is a bit of a broad stroke of the Define series.
Yes.
And Better Man's set up kind of like building blocks where you have the 11-week core and that's broad stroke, and then it defines
I mean, it really,
and it deep dives into it, breaks it into four different categories. And anyway, it's just, man, it's great.
And so is. We wanted to put together this recording so that y'all could hear the hearts of two men who've been affected in great ways by men's life, and in particular, Quest for Authentic Manhood for me, and then Better Man for you, which is Quest for Authentic repackaged for, you know, really a modern audience.
Yeah.
And I see all of the remnants of Quest in Better Man, and I'm telling you, I'm on board. We want to see Better Man. We have big dreams, don't we, Taylor?
We do.
And
I'll say this: this is something we don't need to leave. If anybody's listening to this that is not affiliated with First Baptist Church, okay, so they're not going to be able to be there on Wednesday night or Friday mornings. Maybe they go to a different church, or maybe they don't go to church at all. All right. If you don't believe in God and you just want to be a better man, do Better Man. It's that awesome. But it'll bring you back to us. But
But I see what you did there.
It's 100% free. Anybody that's a group of men or singular, whatever, it can just be you. You can go to Better Man's website. You can get the material 100% free. And that's one thing that makes it so great. So other churches, if you're listening, I'm telling you, go check it out.
Yeah.
You don't have to come to First Baptist Church. Do it at your church.
Yeah.
You got a group of buddies. Who don't have a group of buddies?
That's right.
Sit around, watch a video, and talk.
And how much did you say it cost again?
It's zero.
So let's say that you haven't budgeted for anything men's ministry. Mm-hmm. You can afford this.
It really frees up the cap space.
I'm telling you. Yeah. It's a no-brainer, mm-hmm. and that's part of the ministry.
Yep.
And they're constantly updating and developing, and it's accessible, it's easy. And so we have a big vision for our community. Now, I want to end this. What's the need for men to get better, Taylor?
What's the need?
Yeah, well, I mean, why do we need to get better?
Well, every bit of what's going on out there today falls on our shoulders.
What's going on out there today?
Man, it is crazy. And I know my grandfather said it, my dad said it, I'll say it one day. Oh, it's crazy, you know, whether it be how kids are acting today, how you go to a sporting event and people act like teetotal morons. I'm guilty of it, guilty as charged. But it just, generally speaking, in our communities, whether it's crime or whatever, and we don't need to dive too deep into that, but every bit of this falls on our shoulders. The politics in your town, the school administration, your church body, every bit of it falls on us as men's shoulders, and this is going to help with that.
Yeah, and I wanted y'all to hear, we see an epidemic of fatherlessness,
mm-hmm.
and passivity amongst men. And what that has created is a society that is degrading. Mm-hmm. It's not getting better as men step away from their biblical and God-given role. And so what we need at First Baptist Church and what we need in our homes and what we need in our city, in our county, in our state, nation, world, is for men to regain their position. And it's something that men can easily regain if they determine, hey, I want to do this God's way. I don't want to see my family flounder and fail and I don't want to see my community robbed of peace and tranquility. And, you know, I want to be safe. And all these things point to a dereliction of duty by men. And I believe that. I believe there's nothing else to blame. The enemy has created all of these vices to bring men, to distract men from their God-given role. And we're suckers.
At the end of the day, it's on us. And when we get to wake up in the morning, we got two options. We can keep doing what we're doing, or we can do better. Better man.
I want to do better. Well, Taylor, man, I really appreciate you carving out some time for us. And
did we go over?
I didn't even.
Is there a time limit on these things?
Apparently not.
Okay, cool.
I feel like we've been about, you know, let's see. Hey, we know that y'all enjoyed every second of it out there. But again, let me just recap. August 6th at 5:30, room 201. Better Man Explorer, led by Taylor Newman. Y'all come. You don't need to bring anything. Nothing, you should just bring yourself.
Come on.
And then we'll see you. We'll see you here soon. So, hey, Taylor, thanks for carving out some time, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me in your living room.
Yeah, it's nice. All right. With that, we're going to sign off. We'll see you.